Grace to you and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning's message actually is based upon all three of the appointed scripture lessons. And I just want to read to you one verse from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3. And it's it's two verses. I'm sorry. Verses 14 and 15. This is what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. I'm going to ask you a question. Why not? Do you think that you need Jesus Christ? I'm serious. Do you really think you need Jesus Christ? I'm getting a lot of yeses. Would somebody be a little bit upset that I asked that question? Well, because you know, it almost sounds like maybe I'm questioning your Christianity. Of course we need Jesus Christ, don't we? Of course. Christ is our all in all. I mean, he's our shepherd. We need his care, his lifting up, his guidance, his everything. He is our protector. He protects us from sin, death, the devil. He is our Lord. He is our King. He's victorious. Through him, we can have life. And above all, he is our Savior. I'll put it this way, he's our ticket to everlasting life. I asked you that question because I got to tell you, mucho years ago in the seminary, a class that I had to attend was asked that question. It was asked by a professor. His name was Dr. Martin Charlemagne. This guy was, he was one of the premier Greek theologians. And we were in this class. It was called Romans, and it was all about the exegesis, etc. And we happened to be in Romans chapter 3. And he walked in, and there was about 10 of us there because we were the 10 crazies that decided to take this with him because he was not an easy professor. And he looked at me and he said, "Mr. Morris," oh gosh, here we go, "do you really think you need Jesus Christ?" "Well, yeah." "No, I'm serious. Do you think you really need Jesus Christ?" "Well, yeah." And then he asked the other nine the very same question. And of course, we answered the same way you did. Of course we need Jesus Christ. I mean, without Christ, we are nothing. Without Christ, we are lost to hell. Without Christ, we might as well pack it in and forget about life altogether. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the forgiveness of sins. He is everlasting life. We told him that. And you know what his next words were to us? "Then why in the world don't you act it?" What? It's kind of interesting. This whole aspect about salvation. You know, it's so very common for we human beings to somehow begin to think that, yes, Christ died, he rose again, he's my way to salvation, and yet I still have to do something. And you know, we'll make our own little rules, maybe that might have to go with it, you know, to get that salvation. You know, maybe I have to have a certain goodness with me before Christ will forgive me, or you know, once I'm converted, I'm to live this sanctified life, and I have to measure up and live this kind of life just the way that is, you know. And really, on top of that, I'm sure, oh well, I shouldn't say this, but I know that I myself, I fall into this so easy, like, where I'm thinking to myself, there's no way that God, that Christ could love me, because there's no way I'm good enough. There's no way I'm going to get there. I'm not good enough. And, you know, that's the doggone devil. Because, you know, if he wants us to doubt, he really, really, really wants us to doubt this free gift of salvation. He wants us to depend upon ourselves. I think it's kind of interesting. As soon as we start attaching anything, any kind of good work, or any kind of level of goodness, you know what we've just done? We have made ourselves God. Because now we're dictating to God what is necessary to be saved. We're not allowing God to be God. Because God says there's only one way. By grace you are saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It's not by works. It's a free gift, so that no one can boast. But now there comes another issue. And that issue is that so often we as Christians will somehow, some way, give the idea to non-Christians that salvation somehow has to be earned. Or that you have to have some sort of level of goodness before you can make it. What in the world am I talking about here? Have you ever judged anybody? Have you ever really just sat back and thought, you know, that person, really a scumball? Have you ever thought that you were better than that person? You know what? You're judging. You're judging on what you believe is good, and you are denying and saying that, see, that person isn't good enough. He can't work, or she cannot work his way into heaven. Not good enough, right? Congregations. There are congregations that will not share the gospel with certain groups of people. Why? They're simply too bad. What kind of message is that sending? They're not good enough. They haven't reached that goodness before they can get the salvation won by Jesus Christ. You know, even within the life of a congregation, if we begin to serve our Lord, and we begin to place ourselves above others, we're saying we're better. But we're also saying, too, that maybe their salvation might very well be in doubt because they're not as good as I am. It amazes me that in congregations, people will literally say that so-and-so who belongs to the congregation isn't going to go to heaven because they're not good enough. When a congregation will be out into the community and doing good works, ask why are they doing this? Well, Jesus wants me to. Well, what do you mean? Well, he commands it. All law-based. All law-based. Never ever thought about any of that before until that particular class. Because you see, as this professor went on and on and on, and I started to take a look at my own life, what I began to see is this, that in all reality, many of the things that I said and that I did was negating the cross, was saying to another individual, you know what? The cross isn't enough to get you to heaven. You got to do something else. I want you to think about that. I want you to stop and think about that. We're all guilty because we're all human beings. We're all sinful. And I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be a battle that I know that I will always battle the rest of my life. You will too. Because we're all by nature sinful. We have our prides. We have our egos. We have that devil. We have everything that is there. And it's so easy just to follow into this. And the only thing that I know, the only way that we can even begin to combat this is not by our own willpower, but go back to the source of our salvation, namely Jesus Christ. I love the Old Testament lesson and the gospel lesson. We had talked about this on Tuesday, as a matter of fact. In the Old Testament lesson, it's interesting. We find that the Israelites are finally coming from the south and they're going north, okay? After 40 years out there in the wilderness because of everything that they did wrong, now finally they're going to start getting into the promised land, right? And you know what? They finally learned something, okay? They finally learned that they were going to listen to the Lord. And so when they hit up against the Canaanites, they listened to the Lord, and the Lord, notice, the Lord gave them this complete, total, absolute victory over the Canaanites. It's the very first time. Boy, and I bet you there was a lot of singing and dancing in the streets after that one, boy. All right? Now, they're continuing to go north. They get to the land of Edom. Now, you have to realize that before this, they wanted to go through Edom. Moses asked if they could go through Edom, but they were not permitted to go through Edom. And let me tell you, Moses didn't want to because Edom's army was one of the best ever. So guess what Moses did this time? Instead of going through Edom the short way, he took a real long route all the way around. He probably added about 400 or 500 miles on their journey to keep out of Edom. Well, the people of Israel who knew how to complain started to complain again for the umpteenth million time. Here we go again. You get us out here in this desert. Here we go. We don't have any food. We don't have any water. All we have is just to a detestable manner. You would have thought by 40 years they would have learned. No. Of course, I would have been just like they would have. The Lord had it. He just had it. And he sends these venomous snakes. And they bite the people. People die. And the amazing thing about all of this here now is, as you see, the people of Israel cannot escape. They cannot escape from the death that is going to happen because they can't stop these snakes. They are gods. Their only help is the Lord. So they go to Moses, pray to the Lord. They repented. Moses, he prays to the Lord for the people. Lord says, okay, make a bronze snake. Put it on a pole. Put it up there. And anybody who sees it will live. They were delivered. Lo and behold, we get to Jesus with Nicodemus. And of course, Nicodemus is, you know, he knows about as much as I do, which is zilch. And Jesus says to him, just as Moses lifted up that serpent and the people of Israel was saved, so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that whoever believes in him will have forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus had just told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, the people of Israel couldn't save themselves. No one else can either by any kind of good works. Because, you see, no one is good. No one does good. No, not a one. That's what it says in Romans. We're not perfect. The only hope was Christ being lifted up on that cross. Christ, the Son of God. Christ carrying our sins. Christ carrying the punishment of our sins. Christ doing battle against sin and death and the devil. Christ breathing his last and dying. And it really appeared as if the devil had won, right? Wrong. Why did Jesus pull a fast one on him? Because in 3 days he was raised from the dead. And Christ is victorious. He defeated them. And it's only through faith in Christ that we have forgiveness and eternal life. You and I, that's where we need to go. Day in, day out, remembering how it is that we are here today as God's people. Not because of who you are, not because of anything you have ever done, not because of how good you are. And I'm certainly not here because of who I am and how good I am. We don't want to talk about what I do and what I did 40 years ago. No. We're here because of the grace of God, His love and His mercy and grace, the free gift of salvation. And focused on that, our lives will be directed. And we will do works and give God glory instead of ourselves. We will build people up and give God the glory. We will work with one another, building the kingdom of God and giving God glory. We will be that light in this dark world. Amen.